Good morning. This morning, as we begin to prepare our hearts in anticipation of the Christmas season and its true meaning, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we're embarking on a series of messages that hopefully will remind us and encourage us to experience the miracles of Christmas. We'll do this by focusing on three specific miracles. Miracles that I have identified as the miracle of the moment, the miracle of the message, and the miracle of the manger. This morning, as we draw our attention to that miracle of the moment, it is my prayer that we will come to see that miracle is often found in the moment itself. Will you please join me now for a word of prayer? Abba, Father, for this Christmas season, we do give you thanks for its true meaning, the depth of its meaning, the gift of your Son. But Father, it was more than that. It was the gift of hope. It was the gift of light. It was the gift of life. And it all happened in a very special moment in a little obscure village far removed from here. And yet, Father, it has had such an impact down through the centuries on the lives of your children and on the lives of the human race. So, Father, we come today expecting, longing to experience your presence in this place at this time. We ask, Father, that you would continue to be with us as a people as we struggle through this time of pandemic and illness and uncertainty. Father, that you would help us to be strong, that you would lift our spirits, that you would help us to help one another through these difficult waters. We ask that you would be with us as a nation as we still are in the turmoil of an election, as people are angry and hurting. Father, may they in this Christmas season recognize a message of peace, a message of hope, a message of love. Be with those in our armed forces, Father, the young men and women who are serving to protect our rights and our freedoms in this nation, as they are going to be away from their families this Christmas season. Be with their families. Give them comfort. Father, just now I ask that you would allow us to lay our burdens before you, that we would take your yoke upon ourselves, that when we leave here, we don't carry our burdens back out of here, but we've turned them over to you, and we carry your love, your grace, your righteousness. Father, just now, would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see the very special message you have for us this day. Father, I would ask that you would set me aside and that you would speak your word in a powerful and meaningful way. And Father, that as your word goes forth, the Spirit would allow it to be planted and would allow it to grow. And so, Father, we ask just now, please come and share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're focusing on that miracle of a moment. A moment is defined in Webster's dictionary as a minute portion or a point of time. It's also defined as a point in time of importance, in influence, or effect. You know, occasionally we'll say to someone, give me a minute, or can you give me just a moment and I'll be with you, indicating that in a very short time we will be there to give them that attention that they long for. You know, a minute is a funny amount of time. It's long enough to notice, but it's too short to do much anything with. There are only 500,000 of them in a year. But when you add all of humanity together, a lot starts to happen in a lowly minute. Consider what happens before the second hand of a clock completes a full rotation. According to the U.S. Department of State, 25 Americans will get a passport. According to the International Air Traffic Association, 58 airplanes will take off around the world. 116 people will get married, based on statistics from the United Nations. 11,319 packages will be delivered by the UPS. 243,000 photos will be uploaded to Facebook. 5,441,400 pounds of garbage will be created, according to the World Bank. 7,150,000,000,000 human hearts, according to the United States Census Bureau, will beat. 500 trillion 500 billion times, according to the Heart Association, as their bodies create. Are you ready for this? 858,282,244,000,000,000 new red blood cells, according to the National Institute of Health. In light of these statistics, it appears that a minute may be more significant in our lives than we might have normally believed. A lot of things can happen in a moment, and there are some moments in the lives of a nation, a church, a family, or an individual which has a lasting impact on their lives. A moment that might very well change everything in their lives. Moments like meeting the one whom you want to spend the rest of your life with. The birth of a child, starting a new job, leaving your current job, finishing high school or college or graduate school, paying off a debt, retiring, or the death of a loved one. Many, if not all of us, have experienced these very moments in our lives, but then there are others which are unique to each one of us. One moment in my life that changed everything for Cindy and I, and it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. A father and his adult son sitting at the dinner table after dinner, carrying on a conversation. But in a moment, everything changed. In a moment, everything was different. In that moment, my father asked a very simple question. Richard, why aren't you doing what you want to do? Now, everything didn't change in a flash. Some time passed when I look back and I ask, how did I end up here? How did I end up here behind a pulpit in Monrovia, Indiana, sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ? And I look back and it all began in that moment, when a father and a son were simply carrying on a conversation. A moment that truly changed everything. Changed everything for me, and I hope and pray it's a moment that there's a moment that you can point to and say the same. There is a moment that for every one of us changed everything. It took place a long time ago in an obscure village, in a manger, in an animal stall, behind an inn. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he tells of that very special and life-changing moment for a world which was lost and without hope. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of time had come, when that moment had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because of Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. For Paul, there were two primary events, moments, if you will, that take place, which are intricately linked and that are clearly moments that changed everything. The first event was that of the birth of a child. And yet, not just any child. It was the very Son of God. And in that moment, true light entered the world. It entered a dark world, a lost world, a dying world. The second event or moment would take place some 33 years later, outside the city walls of Jerusalem. A moment that would span 3 days and would include a death, a burial, and a resurrection. In that moment, the full truth of Paul's words here to the Galatians would be realized. So you see, without this particular moment, this moment in time, the birth of this very special child, the moment of reconciliation and redemption and life would not have happened. So let's take just a moment and experience, if we can, the miracle which takes place in this moment. Paul begins this passage by writing, in the fullness of time. This was not just any moment. This was a divine moment. A moment which was appointed and orchestrated by Almighty God. You see, this was not just a moment that took place by chance. No, this was long planned. An appointed moment that took place precisely when it was supposed to. Paul uses two Greek words that help us to begin to understand this truth. The first word is the word chronos, which is translated here as time. As with so many other English words, though, there are multiple Greek words which can be translated as time. So why did Paul choose this word? The ancient Greeks actually had two words for time. One was Kairos, and the second, as we have said, is chronos. Chronos is a word from which we get our English word chronology and anachronistic. It refers to the clock time, time that can be measured, seconds, minutes, hours, years. Where chronos is quantitative, kairos is qualitative. It measures moments, not seconds. Further, it refers to the right moment or an opportune moment, just a span of time, any time in history. That perfect moment, if you will. While there is an element of kairos in the meaning of Paul's words, he chooses to use the word chronos to clarify for us that it wasn't just about a period of time, but a specific moment in time, a specific day which God had set, and which he describes with the Greek word pleroma, which means to be filled to capacity, to be complete, to be full in the fullness of time. In essence, Paul is saying that all that needed to take place, all that God promised and orchestrated throughout the writings of the Old Testament, had reached its completion, and the time was right for full salvation to come to earth at this precise date and moment in time. Many have said that what Paul was truly speaking about was more this concept of a kairos moment, a moment in history when the world was ripe for the spreading of the message of redemption. And I believe there's an element of that in what Paul is trying to express, but we also need to understand that God has appointed times, specific moments, specific days. The rule of one government ensured worldwide peace. This is the setting to which this moment takes place. This is the kairos part of the moment. The rule of one government ensured worldwide peace imposed by conquering armies. This peace extended over most of the civilized world, making travel and commerce possible in a way very previously unrealized. Great roads link the empire of the Caesars, ensuring free and uninterrupted communications with the furthest outpost of civilization and providing rapid access to all other corners of the empire. Further, Greek was the lingua franca of the empire. Lingua franca is defined as a language that is adopted as a common language between speakers whose native languages are different. They all had their own language, but there was a common language of commerce, of trade, of doing business, meaning that the world had arrived at a time that was politically, culturally, and linguistically unified. Conditions which ensured a rapid spread, if you will, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news concerning the salvation that would be purchased through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. The ancient world had reached a place of immorality so deep that even pagans were crying out against it. Spiritual hunger was everywhere, and as witnessed by the prevalent appeal within every culture for spiritual insight from religions which had once been confronted by the prophets. There was a human longing for communion with God, which made a once reticent people ready to receive the message this very child would bring, a message of hope, a message of love, a message of true peace. You see, this was no ordinary moment. This was a chronos moment, a specific moment, a date which God had set long ago. It was a divine moment, an exact moment in chronological time appointed by God to fulfill His promise of redemption, a promise which God points to immediately following Adam and Eve's fall from grace in the Garden of Eden. Look with me at Genesis 3:15. God speaking to the serpent. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This particular verse has come to be known as the proto-evangelium, or the first gospel, the first sharing of the good news, the news of salvation. God is, in a very brief and succinct way, telling the enemy, Satan, exactly how he plans to redeem the world. That it will come through the offspring of a woman that while he may continually nip at man's heels, it will be man who will ultimately bring him to defeat. Paul here is telling everyone that when Jesus, the very Son of God, born of Mary, was to fulfill this very promise, that this moment was appointed by God long ago, and the time is now fulfilled. It has come to fruition. It was in this moment that salvation and full reconciliation had become available to the world. The writer of Hebrews in the Great Faith chapter speaks of all these wonderful people of faith, people in their own rights who were part of divine moments of their own, divine appointments by God, and yet they came to the end of their own lives, and we are told they had not yet fully realized God's promise. Hebrews 11:39-40, reading from the New Living Translation. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. The writer of Hebrews tells us that while they were commended for their faith, they were made righteous because of their faith, they had not yet completely or fully realized the fullness of time had not come when they would realize that promise of redemption. But that would come in a moment when we all together could realize our salvation has arrived. And it's in this moment that Paul speaks, this miraculous moment of time, that all of that takes place. Divine moments, divine appointments are seen throughout Scripture and used by God to further the spread of His message of salvation. God has chosen to use ordinary people like you and I to build His kingdom. Take, for example, God's use of a fallen and broken woman and a seemingly chance meeting with the Savior of the world and the redemption of an entire city. Look with me at John, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 6. He, Jesus, left Judea and departed for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. I want you to notice that short little verse, the fourth verse that's there. Ask yourself, why did John include those words? He could have simply have said, Jesus departed from Galilee and journeyed through Samaria. And yet, here in verse 4, he adds this qualifier. He had to pass through Samaria. Why? Because there was a purpose, there was a plan, there was an appointed time, a divine moment that needed to take place. And in that moment, a woman who had lived a fairly immoral life would do what she did every day, journey to the well of Jacob to draw water. And when she arrives there, Jesus greets her. And her life changes forever. Jesus would speak to her, and not only would her life be changed forever, but that of the entire city in which she lived. Look with me further down in John, the 4th chapter, at verses 28 and 29. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see the man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And then jump down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." This turned out to be far from an everyday, ordinary journey to a well. Because not one, but at least two divine moments took place. There was that divine moment when Jesus spoke to a woman beside a well. But then there would be a moment that God would use to change a city. Divine moments are special. And they are used of God more often than we may know. Let me share with you just one more divine appointment from Scripture. A moment when a man was restored and ultimately a world was changed. The ultimate divine moment has taken place is the moment which Christ has died. He's been buried. He's risen from the grave. That ultimate divine moment that changed everything. Peter, who was close to Jesus throughout his ministry here on earth and had denied his Savior 3 times, Peter was certain that there was no chance of redemption or salvation for him. For him, all hope seemed to be lost. That is, until that early morning appointment with Jesus on the banks of the Sea of Galilee. You see, Peter had returned to his old profession, what he knew best. He'd gone fishing, he and a few of the other followers of Jesus. And they'd been fishing all night and had caught absolutely nothing. And then they spy a man walking on the shore along the bank. And Jesus calls out to the men and asks if they've caught anything. And their reply is, "No, we've caught nothing." And Jesus says, "Cast your nets on the other side." And the moment that they did and they began to haul those nets in, they were so full that they struggled against the weight to bring in all of those fish. And immediately, John recognized Jesus because this event had happened to them once before. And he says to Peter, "It's Jesus." When they get to shore, they find Jesus has already began fixing breakfast. Another divine moment around a meal. A breakfast Jesus turns into that divine moment to restore Peter to his walk with the Lord. Little did Peter know in that moment that this would be a walk for a lifetime. Jesus would look at him and said, "Peter, let's go for a walk. Let's talk." And Jesus would ask Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter would respond three times, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus would say to him, "Feed my sheep." And from that moment on, Peter's life changed. He became an itinerant minister, a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that miracle message of the fullness of time when Jesus Christ came and changed everything. One very special, precious moment, and everything was changed. That moment when God sent forth His Son. Yet I believe God is still using divine moments. Divine moments and appointments to make a difference in this world today. As we look for word of Christmas and the forward to Christmas and the birth of Christ, we long for another appointed time. That moment when God has set to send His Son to claim His bride, the church. It's a promised time. We see that in John 14:3. When everything is ready, Jesus says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. For each of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and King, we too have experienced a divine moment. That moment when we passed from death to life, and we are now called to share the truth of that salvation with others. This Christmas season, may we once again experience the miracle of that moment when we came face to face with God's Son and everything changed. May we have the heart of the shepherds who witnessed His birth, another divine appointment. Luke reminds us that as they returned to their sheep in the fields, they were glorifying God for what they had witnessed, and without a doubt, likely, every person they bumped into along the way, they said, "Guess what we saw?" I close this morning's message to you with the words of Jesus to His disciples as He washed His feet. You have come to know Jesus in that divine moment, and Jesus says, "Now, go. And do likewise. Do likewise what the shepherds did. Do likewise what Peter did. Do likewise what the woman at the well did. Experience that miracle of a moment when you pass from death into life. And then go and share it with others." Let's pray. Abba, Father, we do thank You for the miracle of that moment. For that time that you appointed, that You set, and You sent Your Son into a world that was lost and that was dying, to go to a Roman cross, to bleed and to die, that we might pass from death into life. Life eternal, life with You for all times. And Father, we anticipate another divine moment, that moment when You send Your Son back to claim His bride, to honor that promise that where we may be, where He may be, we may be with Him always. So, Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know Your Son as Lord and Savior, one listening online, we would ask that You would allow Your Spirit in this season to have a divine moment in that life, to meet with that individual. Father, use us in any way that You can to help in those moments, those very precious, those very special, those very miraculous moments. So, Father, we thank you for today. And we pray your blessing upon all. In Jesus' name, amen. The miracle of the moment of Christ's birth continues to lead to other moments of miracles. Each time a soul comes to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, it's a miracle, for it's in that moment that we move from death into life everlasting. If you don't know Jesus as Lord of your life, if you want to experience that miracle of a moment in your life, would you give us a call this week here at the church office? We'd love to be able to pray with you, to be able to answer questions, to talk with you, and just to guide you through the steps and through the scriptures that speak of this wonderful moment and this wonderful Savior. Maybe it's been a difficult week and you just need someone to pray with you. We would love to be able to do that as well. Would you give us a call? Let us share with you in a moment of prayer over the phone if possible. If not, we'll certainly lift you up during the week in prayer. And if there's a need in our community, we here at Monrovia Christian Church long to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love plain and simple. And so if you would let us know, we stand ready to serve where we can. So give us a call here at the church office. I pray this is a blessed and wonderful week for you. Thank you.